When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to NFL Live, presented by NerdWallet. Detroit, the backdrop for the lives that will change today. They'll always remember it happened in Motor City right here. And the fans are already out getting ready for an incredible night. Detroit just hits different. You know these fans care. Representatives from everywhere, including Caleb Williams. Will he be the first name to be called in just a few hours? He's getting ready. He said he's very calm ahead of all of this. Playing a little card game? Why not? Expected to be the number one overall pick. And will Jaden Daniels go number two to the Commanders? He said he's at peace with whatever happens. He's ready to get to work. He's also ready to get dressed up. You'll see him on the red carpet in just a little bit later. And his teammate, his college teammate, Malik Nabers, he's known for his style. He doesn't shy away from that. Part of an elite receiver class that we expect to fly off the board tonight. The commissioner's post for the evening. It's gorgeous in here. The lights already sparkling. You see it right there. Greatness is on the clock. Hugs, joy, celebration. Detroit, the perfect place for it to all happen.
The draft in Detroit. The Motor City. Home of Motown.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
It's a city that woke up.
Detroit, stand up. You've waited for this.
Dan Campbell has changed the aura around the Detroit Lions.
We come out here each and every play. Your brothers and dominate.
The Motor City got an engine now, and that engine is running, and it's running at a high level. The horsepower is kicking, and they bringing some of that old thing back when my man Barry was toting that note with the hopes of winning a championship.
He is putting on a show.
Don't think I forgot you, Brad Holmes, as we talk about the draft. Detroit, the Motor City, home of Motown. There's some bigger days in your future. We just glad to be here for the draft. Now, y'all tell Swaggoo where I need to go get something to eat at.
Now, okay, Swaggoo with the voice.
Yeah!
For some of that country spank on it.
You took that note over there. Marcus Spears, voice artist, Swaggoo.
What's
up? Love to see you.
Y'all look so good.
Nina Kimes, it's so good to be with all of you. Ryan Clark.
Golly.
Karolowski.
Let's go.
Guys, Dan's back in Detroit. He's got Detroit on his cardigan.
That's hard, though.
I like that. That's cool.
That's tough. This passes.
Yeah.
This passes. This
is. It's a rare W.
That's hard. Yeah. Like, it's like Mr. Rogers and Swag all at one time, boy. That's cool. You like, hey, that's like Mr. Robinson's neighborhood.
That's lit.
We're with you for two more hours in the lead up to the draft. All the coverage here on ESPN as well as ABC later. Adam Schefter is joining us in just a moment with lots of news to get to. We're kind of hoping for a little bit more spice. You never know what can happen.
We do. We want
good action.
Let's start with Chicago. That's where it all begins. The number one overall pick, of course, is what the Chicago Bears have. And if Caleb Williams is selected first overall by the Bears, it's going to be the first time in a while that Chicago has a quarterback with Pro Bowl talent. The last time the Bears had a QB selected to the Pro Bowl was Jim McMahon back in 1985. And in fact, Chicago has had just four different quarterbacks selected since the first Pro Bowl in 1951. That's four in 73 years. Bears GM Ryan Poles spoke about the team's draft plans earlier this week.
Unfortunately, it's one of those things I think everyone's got to tune in on Thursday to watch and figure out. But I feel really good about our process and where we are and where we're headed. So, we know what we're going to do, but everyone's going to have to wait till Thursday to go there.
I love the sly smile there. Still trying to keep a little bit of mystery is Ryan Poles. Courtney Cronin joining us here. And it's pretty probably going to happen that Caleb Williams is going to have a Chicago area address, Courtney. But as you get closer and closer to this moment, anything you're hearing about pre-draft night jitters for the number one overall pick?
Yeah, Laura, it's a matter of hours at this point until Caleb Williams officially becomes a Bear. And there's a good chance that right now he's still playing Monopoly cards in his hotel room as he gets ready for draft night. That's where our cameras caught up with him earlier today, where a relaxed Williams, who, by the way, got a full night of sleep ahead of the draft, decided that he wanted to spend time with friends and family, getting ready for the moment that he has been dreaming of for the last 12 years. It's a moment he's excited for. He's going to soak it all in. But he said that he's ready to get it over with and get back to football. He hasn't played in a game since November 18th. And that all business display was on approach yesterday when he was asked about Chicago and the feel that he got for the city. But instead, it's here at Halas Hall where his focus has been since his top 30 visit earlier this month on building those relationships with the coaches and players he's going to be around every day during his rookie season. And while mastering an offense becomes his next challenge that he'll start attacking in a couple of weeks, he cannot wait to teach his teammates this Monopoly cards game that he picked up while shooting Wendy's commercials while in college. Excited to be able to get a deeper bond with the teammates he's going to be in a locker room with just about a couple feet from where I'm standing right now.
Yeah, really cool to think about. Thanks to Courtney for the latest there. Courtney also told us yesterday that Caleb's going to be wearing the navy blue suit, a little ode to Chicago potentially.
Turn up.
Marcus, what do you like about his style of play?
Well, you know, we talk about the ability to throw the football. We talk about the plays that he makes within structure. And I almost felt like a negative connotation around him playing out of structure started to develop as we talked about this. I'm going to go into being a defensive player in the NFL. We love when we can game plan for you. We love when we know what you're doing. We love when we know what type of quarterback you are. And the reason why you've heard these comparisons to Patrick Mahomes is because the worst nightmare for a defense is when we can literally do everything right.
Sure. Mm.
And you still cut us and gut us up throughout a football game. And I think that's the trait that we haven't highlighted enough when it comes to Caleb Williams. A lot of these defenses had plans until they got on the field and saw that we can't do nothing about that, coach. And I've been on sidelines with Dean Pease as the defense coordinator with the Baltimore Ravens when Peyton Manning was carving us up, and Dean told us on the phone, "I don't know what the hell you want me to do." That's what Caleb Williams reminds me of.
I agree with you. The out-of-structure plays are magical, but what he's able to do within structure, I think, is a big part of why he's the number one overall pick. Ryan had a great interview with him on The Pivot where Caleb said something that I loved, which is, listen, the highlights everybody sees, but in the pocket, look up my stats. They're the best in the class. And he was telling the truth. When he was not pressured last year, when he was kept clean, which frankly was all too rare behind that USC offensive line, of all the prospects in this class, best adjusted completion percentage, lowest turnover-worthy play, highest passer rating of any Power 5 quarterback when he's kept clean. He can win in the pocket. Mm-hmm. He can win within structure. For me, it's just more of a question of will he do it consistently?
Dan, you heard Courtney talking about the fact that he's going to be learning this offense, this playbook. If you're part of that Bears coaching staff and they do go this route, what's one thing you're working on with him every single day from now until September?
Yeah, seeing coverage rotation and dealing with internal pressure. I go back to the Notre Dame game.
Yeah.
Last year, C.J. Stroud versus Georgia. Probably should have paid a little bit more attention to that. And this is the first time that I feel he saw NFL defenses and coverage change. So the safeties are going to show two, go to one. You're going to get pressure. Now, Caleb's got a little lateral ball fake. And then that internal pressure, because he's so talented, I just want to see him put his back foot in the ground and dump this off to a tight end that's wide open. But this retreating backwards forces this sailing ball, and that's the start of this football game that turns into an interception. You're going to get a very similar look, and this is what, if you're Chicago, you're sitting there going, how do we correct this? That lateral ball fake, we're going to get an off-ball linebacker to pressure, and you're just trying to replace that wrap route inside. Look at his feet parallel to the line of scrimmage. We don't need that right there, but we're retreating back because I think he's trying to think his way through. This one was the probably most glaring one. You get the weak side linebacker and corner, the pressure, and they kind of zone it off on the front side. He panics a little bit because the back's one-on-one, runs up into the pocket, and then decides to just launch this ball into the middle field instead of saying, all right, I just got to take the check down right now. And I look at that as a little bit of, man, did I lose vision on some things on the back end? Did I drop my eyes? And I go back to this. Al Golden, who's the defensive coordinator for Notre Dame, Marcus Freeman, head coach, they developed a game plan that was built, in their words, to beat Patrick Mahomes. That's what they would have done. Mm. So if you're the Bears, you're watching that tape, and that's been my hesitation with Caleb, that game. And I'm saying, well, that's the first time you saw NFL fronts, NFL coverage, NFL rotations. I think that's going to be where Chicago's going to have to groom his development.
Incredible talent, but some work to be done either way. And one of the ways, RC, they can help him is by adding other pieces. They also had that 9th overall pick, a real big opportunity. Would you go offense, get him a piece there, or the other side of the ball?
So here's the beautiful thing about this show, especially going last. Like, everybody gets to feed me, and then I get to eat. Marcus followed Courtney talking about doing Wendy's commercials. You only do Wendy's commercials in college if you win the Heisman.
Sure. Yeah. Right?
And you got to win the Heisman and have another year if you want to do commercials. Mina talked about the way that he can operate out the pocket when he was protected, but also said he wasn't protected. And now Dan is using tape where he met NFL players and NFL defensive schemes and didn't play well. You know what he ain't have? NFL wide receivers.
Yeah. None.
Right? We did this show last year. Did we talk about anyone that played the skill positions for USC?
Nah.
No. Same thing this year. So if you go out and you get a Rome Odunze, you add him with the Keenan Allen, the DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, DeAndre Swift in the backfield, this is going to be the best set of skill players Caleb Williams has ever played with. Yeah. And we talk about some of those plays where he goes above the X's and O's. It's because he had to.
Yeah.
You put him in a system where he doesn't, and now those plays are timely. I think you can get a lot out of this young man.
The structure of the conversation, credit to our producer, Mark Eisman, for that. Also,
absolutely.
ESPN Analytics Draft Predictor says that Rome Odunze has a 50% chance to be there at 9 with the Bears pick. So that's the number 1 overall pick. How about 2 and 3? Because I think we all agree that's where the draft really starts. Kimberly Martin with the Commanders, Mike Reese with the Patriots, who have that 2nd and 3rd pick. We're going to start with Kimberly. What are you hearing about their plan for the Commanders at 2?
Well, Laura, let me tell you, the draft needs to start now, because if one more bug in Ashburn lands on my Fenty lip gloss, we're going to have a problem. But here's what we know the Commanders need: a franchise quarterback. Here is what they want. Sitting yesterday in Dan Quinn's office, I asked him, what are your non-negotiables for QB traits? And he told me, listen, we need a guy who can play off schedule. We need a guy who's got poise under pressure. We need a guy who can create when the pocket collapses. But above all else, Laura, Quinn told me we need real competitors here. Now, when you look at the top QBs in this draft class, they all fit that bill. Team sources I talked to praise Michael Penix and J.J. McCarthy for being winners. Team sources I talked to praise Drake May for being an athletic, natural-born leader. And Jaden Daniels, I was told, quote, man, he is just a dog. He is an elite, elite competitor. Now, over to another elite competitor. Here is Mike Reese.
Kimberly, we got no bugs here in New England, just a lot of curiosity among the team's top decision makers on if they're going to receive a big trade offer. As my last check-in with them, that hadn't come yet, but there was also an understanding that if it does come, it would probably be when they're on the clock. And think about that. That sets up a potentially compelling 10-minute block tonight. At pick number 3, head coach Gerard Mayo told me he sees 5 prospects in this draft that he thinks could be solid future quarterbacks. He's been especially complimentary of Drake May. That position, obviously their priority tonight. And I just add one more note. Patriots have a high pick in the 2nd round. I'm told they've had internal discussions on possibly using that as a chip to get back in the 1st round if one of their targets slides down in round 1. Laura, let's go back to you in Detroit.
I love it, Mike, and thanks to Kimberly as well. By the way, I'm sorry, we're vibing out here. It's a party in Detroit. We've got the band going. I mean, you can't help it. You know what, RC? We decided we're going to go to you first now, okay? So you get the first bite.
I don't like that, though. You can't feed off everybody.
You got to feed
up. I got to be a team guy, though.
You better set the table right here. So if Williams and Jaden Daniels are gone when the Patriots pick at 3, you think Drake May is the right choice there?
May's the right choice, especially if your evaluation says so. If you look at Drake May and you understand, looking at one of the guys that has the most untapped potential to me in this draft, yes, he has to learn. Yes, he has to get better. But to me, you have a guy in Jacoby Brissett that can give him a year to sit. And it's not about necessarily Drake May learning under Jacoby Brissett. It's about getting the right time to get the correct infrastructure around him, get him some pieces that can allow him to not have to go above and beyond what he needs to do to stay in place and make plays. Also, find a system that works for him. So many times we watch the New England Patriots since Tom Brady was gone to try to fit a round peg in a square hole. Yep. Now you have Drake May. Build an offense around him instead of making him fit what you want him to do.
now I get to follow you, and you served me a platter, and I get to eat off of it. Because I completely agree with everything you said. I don't think the Patriots have a difficult decision at three in taking Drake May. I think where things get tricky for them is what Mike Reese alluded to, which is you have pick 34, right?
Yes.
How are you going to fix the talent issue? It's not just wide receiver. It's also offensive tackle. Do you feel, because you have this rookie quarterback and you need to eventually, maybe not right away, but you could have said, put him in a position to succeed, how can you improve his situation to make it more like the one we talked about at the top of the show with Caleb Williams? Because right now it is about as far in the NFL from that as you can get.
Real quick, last year was the worst pass protecting offensive line. Their leading wide receiver had 561 yards and their leading back had 642. It's the worst skill position group in the NFL. So it's no place for a rookie quarterback to go play right away.
I mean, so along those lines, you just, if you draft Drake May, you just sit him for an entire season. You let Jacoby Brissett play the entire year. Give us a little bit more.
Well, I think, yes, because of the situation and also because of the player. I think two things that have to happen if you're New England and you draft Drake May. You got to slow him down and you got to widen him out. So often he was so ready because he didn't get taught mechanics with his feet at North Carolina. He's ready to throw. And the receivers aren't ever even remotely close to being open. Watch his feet up. So Drake is already set and is looking for the receivers. They're 5 yards away from getting to the top of their breaks. Now, when you're staring downfield, defenders, Ryan, you know this, they're following your eyes. Mm-hmm. So, like, he's playing so hurried, he gets off of those guys before they're ever getting into their cuts. And then it's, oh, my gosh, panic mode, dump the ball off. No, I can't, run around, take a sack, instead of just playing a little bit slower with his feet. And then watch how vertical he stands throwing this top route.
Oh, wow.
He's standing straight up. There's no flex in his lower half. There's no athleticism for a guy that's unbelievably athletic. And then there's that pitter-patter, pitter-patter. Mm-hmm. Whenever we see a quarterback's feet start here and they take time to get to here, you're all over the place when it comes to your mechanics. Your shoulders start to wobble. Your eyes will follow, and it takes time.
Dan, is there any way when you're looking at his mechanics that he could be ready before the end of the year, though?
You know, RC, good question. Yes, but it's going to have to take from 2 months ago all the way through training camp and whatnot, and the burden of not playing. That's why I say
don't play
so he can work on it every day. I think if you get to, like, December and you're completely out of it and you want to play him two or three games to get him reps, similar to, like, what happened with Patrick, absolutely. I'm just saying you don't play him with the, hey, we got to go win this game on Sunday's burden.
You got to think, too. I mean, they have to manage that so carefully from the confidence standpoint. There's so many things at play, to your point. The other option is trading out of that number three spot, going back. I don't know if Patriots fans love that, because maybe there's some hope in drafting quarterback of the future. What do you think about that option?
Look, we know the value of the position, and we've seen how it changes franchise. We talked about it at the end of the year. Think about how the difference in tone we had with Houston after C.J. Stroud signed there. Think about the difference in tone when Joe Burrow showed up in Cincinnati.
I'm not saying
either one of these guys are those guys, but what I'm saying is if you can get that position right, it gives you the flexibility to do everything else that we're talking about. And one other thing, we talk about how bad the situation was for the quarterback in New England. It was bad for those skill position guys, too. as much as we talk about how bad they are and terrible, it was horrible for everybody in that particular situation.
You can't go without taking a shot at the quarterback, can you?
Bro, listen. I'm just saying, always talk about how bad it was for the quarterback. They had 17 offensive coordinators in 3 weeks in New England.
By the way, they're used to success. I mean, this number tells it really well. The Patriots haven't picked in the top three since 1993. That, of course, is when they drafted Drew Bledsoe, number one overall.
Wow, that was a great pick.
It's been a while. I know it was. Look how that turned out. Hey, we're just getting started here from the draft on NFL Live. The Giants hold the sixth pick in tonight's first round, and everyone wondering if they'll draft a quarterback or a wide receiver. Dan and RC tell us what they would do after taking it to the tape. Don't miss it. Plus, the Bills are in search of weapons for quarterback Josh Allen after trading Stephon Diggs to the Texans. Mina tells us which pass catcher Buffalo should have their eyes set on tonight. NFL Live is presented by NerdWallet. Start making smarter financial decisions today. More from Detroit. We're just getting going here on NFL Live. A lot more coming your way after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The best wide receiver in the draft, Marvin Harrison.
Marvin Harrison Jr.
You can tell he's been tutored by a great one.
Flips it to the end zone. Caught, touchdown! Marvin Harrison Jr.
Pretty much your prototypical number one wide receiver.
Malik Nabers is a rocket ship.
An explosive player.
You plug him in, he plays, he makes you better.
Malik Nabers is like an acrobat making catches out there.
I'm a dog, you know, when that ball's in the air, you know it's mine.
Game on
the line. I want Roman Dunsay.
A walking completion. That's who Romo Dunsay is. If you cut on the film, all of these guys can play.
There's a reason why all three of these guys are the top of a strong receiver class.
I loved him in college. I can't wait to see him at the next level. Great wide receivers. And look at Malik Nabers.
Turn on Malik.
He didn't get my city.
Look at his agent, Rick Roberts.
Now,
look at Rick.
Listen, I wanted to see a little bit more of that.
Yeah, we happy tonight.
I've got that one in my bag.
We're going to get some dancing from the set here in just a second. Let's get to Sal Pal. I'm not going to make you try to recreate that, Sal, although you could. You're covering the Giants, of course, for us ahead of a really important draft for them at 6. Could be quarterback, could be wide receiver. What are you hearing as we get closer?
Well, you see this New York Giants practice ball, Laura Rutledge. There's the NY on the side. Question is, here in the field house, when they have practice, will I be handing this ball off to one of these top quarterbacks? Can the Giants go up and get Drake May or J.J. McCarthy in the first round? They're sitting there at number 6. I talked to Joe Shane, the GM of the New York Giants, yesterday, late yesterday. They are still working the phones, still talking to teams above them and below them to give them the best possible option to move her up or down on the first round of the draft board. At number 6, going to be tough to go to number 3. Remember in 2018, when the Jets went from 6 to 3, they had to give up 3 second rounds to the Indianapolis Colts. I'm told it's going to take more than that to go from 6 to 3 this time around. Why? Because the Patriots are also in the market for a quarterback. So they are really trying hard. They understand what's going on. Joe Shane said to me, he's been told by other teams they're not going to do anything until they're on the clock. They're keeping the agents in the dark. It's going to be a very interesting a couple hours around here. And here's the back page of your New York Daily News. There it is. Putting out an SOS, Mayday, Mayday. Where is Drake May? Is he going to land in New York? There it is. Like that? That's a good one, right?
I love that one. I mean, they could have a whole lot of fun with that if Drake ends up being the pick, and they'd have to go up to get him probably. Thanks to Sal Pal for the latest there. Field Yates joining the set now. And a
hello there.
Baby face. Happy belated birthday, bro.
Field has been excellent on all the drafts.
Yes, absolutely.
It's his first year in this role. Field,
shaved a month ago.
Him.
Absolutely.
Literally. Didn't even bring a razor to Detroit this week.
Shadow going.
Didn't have to worry about that one.
We saw the Mayday headline there. But let's live in a world where it's J.J. McCarthy that the Giants get at 6. If they do that, what does he bring to the table?
A big arm, the ability to live in the play-action world, and I think he makes really difficult throws look way easier than they actually are. And there's a lot to be encouraged about his physical talent. If we just think about...
Well, I'm going to take this one, though, Dan. Here we're going to talk a little bit about Malik Nabers. Malik Nabers with a double move here. He drops his weight. Now, this is when the numbers turn into production.
Okay.
It's 4-3-5. He should be covered. Look at the acceleration, the late hands on the catch. So not only is it speed, it's also a guy who understands playing the position. Now we're going to get an intermediate route. Okay. Watch him dip his shoulder here. Yeah. He doesn't allow the defender to get hands in his chest. You want to see how you make the bench press go to the field? Get off me, little boy.
Yeah,
we're going to get hyped because you playing in Death Valley. Now, here's the play I love the most. We have the stutter. It's a Taiwan. The slot fade. When you got a 42-inch vertical, I want you to show me a 42-inch vertical. He goes up. He gets the football. Malik Nabers is a guy that can do absolutely everything on the field. I want you to think Amon-Ra St. Brown, who just got paid yesterday, with a booster pack on his back. That's who Malik Nabers is.
I like the fact that the tape cut in
because Malik Nabers like, kill all that QB talk.
I was about to say, is Malik Nabers in our production team?
His agent.
He went in there, he said, roll my tape instead.
My tape. Great.
We're going to get JJ's tape in
like
here, though.
Tape.
It was excellent. And that's what they could get. They also could get JJ McCarthy. Let's try this one.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully he gets a receiver that would be similar to Malik Nabers when it comes to his talent. But just the thought of making really difficult throws and playing with different personnel, two back, one tight end, 21. We know that the Giants like to do that, the dagger concept. And you have to make sure that when you ball fake and that backside safety is paying attention to the tight end, where he goes. JJ, ball fake, find that safety. He drives down. Now I got to find that middle of the field safety because if he overlaps, I'm throwing the in. If he hangs just a little bit, I can take that crosser. Now, when you're going to throw that crosser, it has to be off one hitch. Watch JJ's feet. One hitch, and you got to cut that sucker loose because that backside safety is running. This is a very difficult throw.
Hell yeah, very easy.
Ooh, the firm touch, the placement of it, and I just think just because he wasn't necessarily afforded or asked the same opportunity on first and second down like other guys were, it was this stressful environment of like, hey, you're only doing it on third down, and he thrived in it. There's way more physical talent. I've said this. Caleb was the first guy coming out of high school. Jaden was the first guy coming out of high school. JJ was five.
There's a plethora
of physical talent.
Yeah. You heard Sal Pal's reporting their field about they're not going to do anything, make a final decision until they're on the clock. They're saying they don't know what they're doing yet. But what are you hearing about what we could see the Giants do at six?
Well, it certainly feels like it's quarterback or wide receiver, Lauren. If I were to make the decision myself, I would lean towards Malik Nabers. And part of that can be interpreted as, do you have full conviction on JJ McCarthy? Personally, I do not. I've got him 18th on the big board, so by the rank, that would be a bit of a quarterback tax you are paying, and history tells us that has often proved to be sort of like the banana in the tailpipe scenario for NFL teams. But to me, the more important part of this is Malik Nabers. In a different draft, Malik Nabers ain't waiting until sixth to hear his name called. This is the most explosive player in the draft. RC's tape did an excellent job of showing it, but if you go back and watch so many of his games from this past year, it's against future NFL draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
He's leaving these guys in the dust. Guys that are running 4.39 40s at the combine. He had 28 forced missed tackles last year. No player is a better bet. Turn an 8-yard throw or a 28-yard throw into an 80-yard touchdown. His sudden change ability is exactly what the Giants need. They haven't had a 1,000-yard receiver since OBJ.
He's
played for three teams since then.
Seriously. What's his personality like?
A dog. I told a story on this show about coaching him in 7-on-7.
Oh, that's right.
He's an absolute go-getter. And we have to remember, he's much like Justin Jefferson. He wasn't offered by LSU until 2 days before the signing day. He was supposed to go to Mississippi State. He's a late bloomer and a guy who wants it really bad.
Well, beyond the fact that he goes to wide receiver U, okay? You know what I'm saying? The other part is this, though. When you start thinking about this draft, and obviously the positional value of a quarterback, we have to address the fact that if New York is going to move up based on their situation, what's one of those quarterbacks? But if you're just talking about dynamic playmaking ability, he's the one. And me and RC just went in back and forth, and I've been going back and forth since this draft. Do I like Marvin Harrison Jr. better, or do I like Malik Nabers better? I think run after the catch has become a demand in the NFL now.
Of course.
Because you use so many schemes and systems based on personnel.
And it's easy on your quarterback.
Exactly. And I think that's why Malik Nabers is that guy in New York if nothing changes.
You think he's good enough to play outside? Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, without question.
Yeah, he's absolutely. I'm sorry about that, Phil. I know that's for you. But he's absolutely good enough to play outside. But when you look at the best skilled players in the game now, they're guys that you can move around. Number ones no longer have to line up in
stand
the X position where you can find them. They move into the slot. They play the Z position. And they are some of those guys that you use as the chess pieces to alleviate pressure on your quarterback.
He makes me think of Stephon Diggs. That's what I think of when I watch Malik Nabers. You can do it all. No matter where you line him up, he's going to give you a chance to score on every play.
He's an acrobat. I will tell you this. We talked a lot about offense. Let's get to some defense. Okay? We're talking about the cornerbacks next on the show.
Y'all can take it.
RC is going to tell us who he believes is the best of this cornerback class next on NFL Live. You don't want to miss this from one of the greatest who knows this really well. RC gets to the tape. You're watching NFL Live, presented by NerdWallet. More from Detroit, right here on ESPN after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
About 3.5 hours until the NFL draft kicks off here in Detroit. It starts at 8 on ESPN, ABC, NFL Network, ESPN Plus, and ESPN Deportes. Look at all the fans already making their way in. We are just behind where all of them are. They're loud. They're ready. This city is ready for the NFL draft. Let's get to some top stories brought to you by Sleep Number. As Adam Schefter joins us here, busy man with all the action potentially for tonight. And Adam, kind of feels like the draft starts at 2, but definitely at 3 with that Patriots pick. What are you hearing about their plans right now?
Well, Laura, if we don't get trades or one or two, which certainly seems like the case, the Patriots then would be on the clock and they would listen to offers for the 3rd overall pick. But it sounds like right now they're going to stay put. Now, there always could be a team that makes a strong offer that makes them reconsider their decision, but right now they're inclined to stay at number 3. One of the teams behind them will be the New York Giants at number 6. And the real question is whether they want to go wide receiver or whether they want to go quarterback. They could use help at a lot of different places along their offense, but where do they feel the most important assets are? They spent a lot of time with quarterbacks during the process. The other team that would have an interest in moving up is the Minnesota Vikings. They are scheduled to pick 11 and 23 in the first round. The problem is you need a trading partner. Right now, New England doesn't seem inclined to deal, so can Minnesota move up inside the Giants to not risk losing a quarterback? Do they wait to see who the Giants pick at number 6? Those are some of the questions the Vikings soon will be facing as we get closer and closer to the NFL draft.
Adam, nice focus with all the fans behind
you.
You're used to doing that. You're going to be doing a lot of that. You'll join us later on in the show. We're with you, of course, until 5 p.m. Time to hit some draft night drills presented by Nationwide. We're going to have Field Yates give us a team need. Then our analysts will give us a prospect that would make a ton of sense
in
tonight's draft. Okay, Field, let's start in Buffalo.
Hey, you may have heard they traded away Stephon Diggs in one of the shocker moves of the offseason. But that was preceded by Gabe Davis departing in free agency. Now, he was a less consistent player than Diggs was, but still. Now the team is down its top two receivers from last season, and they only made a significant move in the form of Curtis Samuel this offseason. So you have Josh Allen. That's great news right there. Who is he throwing the football consistently to? That's one of the biggest questions going into tonight, Mina.
So I could see the Bills potentially trading up for the likes of Rome Odunze or Brian Thomas Jr. I could see them trading down and grabbing draft picks. But if they stay put, A.D. Mitchell out
like
of
this.
Texas
Player
is the
Mina.
Pick. A guy who wins at all three levels, has a speed that belies his 6'4" size. He's extremely sudden. I think he's more nuanced as a outrunner than he's given credit for. And if he lands in Buffalo, I think he could be that true number one receiver they so desperately need.
You know, Field, a lot of talk about the Cardinals and their pick at 4. Yep. People interested in that for sure, but it's easy to forget they also pick at 27 too. Yeah. What should they be looking out for this evening?
Yeah, by the way, 6 picks in the top 90. They can try to control the board early if they so desire. Who is the player in the Cardinals front 7 that right now totally scares you as a game changer, as the lights have just shut off here on NFL Live? To me, the answer is not a bunch of difference makers along that defensive front. They need an edge rusher right now who can help generate some pressure in a division that right now has, you know, you believe at least 2, possibly 3 very good quarterbacks. You get a little oddly non-committal on Geno Smith going forward, but they still need some edge help. I wouldn't be surprised, Swagoo, if they address that at some point during the draft.
Man, listen, I love Latu. We've all talked about him. We've talked about his versatility, and I think that is the key to what they want to do, especially with Gannon now being the head coach. You know he's going to want to stop people. His ability to drop in coverage, keep his eyes back, turn his hips, and track the football tells you about his athleticism. I had a comp of T.J. Watt, and I know that's saying a lot. But then when you look at the pass rush ability, the great use of hands, I've talked about this for years. When young players use their hands in football games, I get excited. A lot of them just try to use their shoulder. He is as polished as a pass rusher.
That flashlight ain't working.
He doing all.
She really does do it all.
I want you lit, okay? I don't want you. Okay.
All of us are a part of this now.
So, well, listen, RC's going to be talking shortly, so let's go ahead and put the light on you.
Yeah, say, all shine lights here.
Field, let's talk about Jacksonville, because they're a really interesting team tonight. What part of their roster could use some help?
Yeah, that secondary needs some help. Thank you very much, RC, right here for the assist. Darius Williams was released.
We'll tell some ghost stories after
this offseason. So this team needs to address the cornerback spot. On top of that, they need to get a guy early, because there is, I think, at least a trio of cornerbacks that could go in the first round. But all of a sudden, the depth starts to drop off in a hurry here, RC. So they need some game changer in that defensive front. They got plenty of investment in those two edges, and Josh Allen and last year's first-round pick, Trayvon Walker. You've got to find a corner, though.
Yeah, you have to find a corner. And for me, it would be Terrion Arnold from the University of Alabama. When we watch what this guy was able to do both in the slot and on the outside, I believe he's special here. You're going to see him in off coverage. He's actually out-leveraged. Look at him use his eyes. He's ready to speed turn if he gets a vertical route, but now he's going to drive the out. Not only drive it, get his eyes back to the quarterback and make a play. I want to show you press coverage, and he's playing against Ladd McConkey. And if you ain't seen him play, the boy can go. Here, you're going to see him shoot the inside hand. If you get an inside route, you want to be low hip. Here, he's low hip. Watch him drop his weight and now drive down the line, getting the ball disruption. And here's the play I love. This is against LSU. They're going to try to double him on this swing screen to Malik Nabers. He's going to take on both of these blockers and understand, if I miss this tackle, I have to miss this tackle to the inside. Why do I miss it to the inside? Because I have pursuit coming. So it's aggression, it's intelligence, and it's finish. I think he's the sort of player that can be a big-time player day one, and it seems he's going to the RC school
of suits. Look at that fit.
Yes.
Getting ready for the red carpet.
Question? Do I have time for
I think you've got time for a question.
RC, let me ask you a question, bro, because we talk about versatility up front with guys that can play multiple positions. You see how dominant they can be. How much value is in being able to play the slot in the outside?
It's changing now, right? Because you remember the slot position used to be the third corner. Right now the slot position is a starter. So if you have a guy like Terrion Arnold who can also play inside, he's on the field 75% there, but also when you get regular personnel, 21, 22, 12, he can go on the outside and match with those number one receivers. That sort of versatilities make things different, especially if he becomes a number one that travels.
Right.
Now you can also play him in man on the inside.
It also helps you with your numbers. Like how many guys you bring to the game is a big deal in the NFL. Yeah. Guys that can cover multiple positions gives you flexibility to bring more guys.
Speaking of versatility, he arrived at Alabama as a safety, began his career at Alabama as a safety. So he's got all sorts of positional versatility in that back
end. He is not short on confidence either. And by the way, we may not be lit, but you can't dull our
shot. Lit. We lit. We lit, for sure.
Don't worry. We've
Why
got
is
more
it so
coming
hot
your way.
Under this?
I don't know. Something's burning.
You got the space heaters going.
Here. Yep. It's all good. Coming up, my favorite. We're going to show love to the big guys. We highlight the offensive
tackle right, we are.
At the top of everyone's big boards. Later in the show, Marcus has a special draft edition of Big Man Ballin'. You don't want to miss it. Aerial coverage provided by Goodyear. From their first step on the field to their first step on this stage, these players have drive. Goodyear, more driven.
I love that you showed Latu in coverage, because I'm thinking Mike McDonald, Seahawks.
Yes.
You know he wants those.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Man, I love a big guy running the 40. Makes me happy.
Laura's love of big men,
I've been knowing this for a long time.
But it's not surprising. It's a true love for the way that they move, for their athleticism.
It's funny because my husband is not a big man.
Laura loves when people do unexpected things.
It's almost like a mama bear where she says, you know what? I know, baby. They don't think that you guys can do the things that you do, and I just love it when you prove them wrong.
Oh,
how I do love the big men. How could you not, okay? NFL Live back here in Detroit.
I got a couple reasons how you could not.
Well, Dan, that's because they took you down. All right, here's the breakdown of first-round picks who got a second contract with the team that drafted them from 2019 by position. That was a good one, Swag. He'd have to be on the field. Offensive line comes out the best. 92% of centers, 59% of tackles, and 50% of guards signed a second deal. Quarterbacks came in at 46%. Wide receivers were the worst, actually, at 27%. You think about the success rate, it's hard to gather. Swag, you let me borrow your shade.
They look fly, Boogie.
Actually,
for real.
I'm going to give them back, though. I'm not sure.
Okay,
I think they look better on you.
Okay.
But
right.
Anyway, we've made a position change. We'll see if the lights come back on at our set. Detroit's own Dan Orlovsky.
They love Dan over here. They like the sweater. They like the car. Hey, can I get a Jared Goff chant?
They deep out here. We're going to talk about the big men. There could be a run tonight on offensive linemen. It seems like that happens in these drafts, and we're talking about all these other position players and quarterbacks. People need tackles. They need O-linemen. Which teams really need them tonight?
Freaking all of them. No, I mean, I go through every team. Not this team, because they got Penei Sewell.
Yeah. Penei Sewell.
Fine. Yeah. But outside of that, going through the draft and just looking at all the teams and listing their needs, I listed 14 teams that could take an offensive tackle. Not offensive linemen, y'all. Offensive tackle, starting, of course, with the Chargers and Titans, the Bears, potentially, the Jets, the Raiders, the Saints, with the uncertainty around Ryan Ramczyk. To me, that's a very obvious offensive tackle team. The Bengals, the Steelers, clearly, the Dolphins could go, and the Cowboys could also go in the interior of the offensive line. Packers are a team to watch. At the end of the first round, the Ravens, the Niners, and Chiefs, all of these teams could take offensive tackles. I listed 14. If even 10 of them, we'd be looking at a record-breaking draft.
And how many of them are first-round tackles? Five? Six?
Oh, I think more.
Really?
Yeah. I think we could see seven or eight.
Yeah.
Chargers were one of the teams on that list. Is there a tackle specifically you like for Harbaugh's team?
Yeah, I think it's J.C. Latham from Alabama, because while, you know, like, they have Rashawn Slater at left tackle, so you need to get somebody who's a right tackle. And Harbaugh wants to be the pound-the-rock physical football team. They want to be run-centric. If you take Justin Herbert and you give him Rashawn Slater on his left, and then you go Latham on the right, you're going, now we got a chance to make this guy the MVP type of player. And then maybe it's Joe Alt from Notre Dame. But I just think that, like, the side that the tackle plays on for the Chargers is very specific to them.
There's J.C. Latham getting ready to go. The Trench King, by the way. You know he's going to be iced out.
Ooh, Cardia.
By the way, let me tell you, he is now the favorite for the fifth pick. So maybe somebody knows something.
That's a rapid rise.
Alt is a left tackle.
Yes. Left
Joe Alt's probably going to play left tackle.
And he's also
like
Andrew Whitworth.
For male. Right.
Andrew Whitworth.
Whitworth would be the comp.
Yeah. That's a pretty good comp. Yeah. Go ahead, RC.
Yeah, for me, I think the Jets, right? When you look at the Jets and you think to yourself, if J.C. Latham is off of the board, you can be talking about Joe Alt or Olu Fashanu from Penn State. They need someone that could protect Aaron Rodgers. And also, even though you go out and you add veteran help there, Smith hasn't been healthy in the last few years. Yeah. So you're expecting that he's going to miss some games. Yeah. And you're going to need a young player. And also, if Joe Alt is the intelligent player that Marcus Freeman has told me he is, he's a guy that can slide to the right side if need be. Yeah. And what you need is some versatility if you're going to draft a tackle early on in his draft if you feel like you already have two starters.
Cornerstones is what I think about when I think about offensive linemen. Zach Martin in Dallas, all of the stuff that's went crazy, he's the mainstay. You think about what Tyron Smith was on that team. You think about Trent Williams in San Francisco. You know what it is about offensive linemen? You don't think about them much until you don't have one.
Yeah.
And
with
all of these guys coming in to be able to impact, like we talk about Penei here in Detroit, don't you think for 1 minute the success is not a lot tied to the way that he plays football as well? So I think wherever they go, you get the guy for the next 10 to 15 years, that wherever this revolving cycle happens with quarterbacks, you know you got a stalwart that'll be there to protect them, and they don't miss much when you draft them either.
Are any of them capable of playing inside? You know, like Dallas took Tyler Smith.
Yep.
We all thought he was going to play tackle.
Fawatanu out of Washington would play inside.
Yep. So I think those those guys are a little bit more likely to go into that teen world because of that versatility. Yeah.
Both Mel and Field, by the way, have 7 offensive tackles going in the first round in their latest mock.
Crazy.
As Mina mentioned earlier, could be historic. Would be the second most in a first round in the common draft era, trailing only 2008 when there were 8 taken. More coming your way from Detroit. We'll be right back ahead of the NFL draft. You don't want to miss this. Jaden Daniels won't have to wait long tonight to hear his name called. Dan and Mina will show us why they're confident Jaden will be successful at the next level. Who are you picking to go number one? Well, ESPN Bet has all your go-to specials and offers for draft day. And as the official sportsbook of ESPN, it's the only place to find exclusive promotions from your favorite ESPN shows and personalities. New users get $100 in bonus bets after making any sportsbook bet. Download today. What a play.
I'm a little bit of bass, ain't always a little bit of clap.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
The NFL Draft begins tonight on ESPN and ABC.
I've seen that a lot, and I love it every time. It's really good. All right, also, tune in to the 5th annual Pat McAfee Draft Spectacular featuring former Patriots head coach Bill Belichick live from Detroit. Catch him on YouTube, ESPN+, ESPN.com, and TikTok Live. We just saw those guys actually walking in front of the crowd with Bill Belichick. It was a scene. That's probably the best way to describe it. And there's so much action here in Detroit as we're getting closer to round one of the 2024 NFL Draft. It starts at 8 p.m. tonight. We have coverage on ESPN, ABC, NFL Network, ESPN Plus. It's all over the place, and Adam, of course, will be part of all of it. Adam, there's so much to get to as we're a little bit less than 4 hours away from the draft. Quarterbacks likely dominating the headlines tonight, of course, but give us 3 things to watch on the quarterback front. Let's start with Jaden Daniels.
Well, Laura, the signs continue to point to him being in play for the number 2 overall pick with the Washington Commanders. Again, they have not announced their decision. They have not made anything official. They've guarded this very closely. But Jaden Daniels is somebody that appeals to a lot of teams across the league. The Commanders have the first chance to take him, and he is in line to become the 2nd overall pick tonight for Washington to become the new face of that franchise. And then the question will be the local kid, J.J. McCarthy, and where he's going to wind up going tonight. Again, could be in play at number 3 with New England. You have to wonder if Minnesota would try to trade up for him, whether Denver or the Las Vegas Raiders could make a move. The logical landing spots would be New England, the New York Giants, Minnesota. We'll see what happens with J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix, also a quarterback that's gotten some buzz here. We'll see where he winds up going tonight. Would not be a surprise to see him in the first round tonight. Again, 6 quarterbacks, and there are way more teams than quarterbacks available in the first round, which helps elevate Penix's draft stock tonight as teams consider him. And one other draft note tonight, Laura, about 3 weeks ago, the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, underwent back surgery. He's recovering well. He's going to announce the picks tonight, but we don't know yet whether he'll be able to deliver his patented hugs to each of the first-round draft picks. That's up in the air. That's a draft-time decision that we'll get to see tonight, whether Goodell can actually go through, gut it out, and hug the first-round picks in attendance.
Wow. I mean, honestly, that's kind of a big deal, guys. If you think about these players who have imagined how they would, you know, approach Goodell.
He'll gut it out.
Gingerly.
Yeah.
He'll gut it out.
I don't know. Be gentle with
don't
him.
Squeeze him.
Marcus Spears, Mina Kimes, Ryan Clark, Dan Orlovsky, we're here with you for another hour, right up until 5 o'clock, leading into College Game Day here on ESPN.
I'm so excited.
Jane Daniels, just a little bit more. We're still waiting for some news.
I'm so excited for tonight, man.
As you should be. And a lot of it has to do with these quarterbacks. Jaden Daniels threw for 40 touchdowns, ran for 10 more to go along with 1,134 rushing yards last year. He's one of two quarterbacks in FBS history to throw 40 touchdowns, rush for 10 more, and have 1,000 yards on the ground, along with Kyler Murray in his Heisman season in 2018. The Cardinals took Kyler number one overall in that 2019 draft. And Marcus, Daniels' legs clearly have a huge impact. What kind of player do you see him being at the next level, just considering the leg talent and the arm talent?
Yeah, I've loved how we've evolved in talking about these guys dual threat-wise, and I got to give RC a lot of credit for the C.J. Stroud, how we all waited for him to be an athlete instead of paying attention to how he was carving people up.
Yeah.
But Jaden Daniels' legs are special. They're a different level.
Yeah,
this is a different level of legs when you start talking about play breakdowns and his ability to force defenses. And this is what I've always contended. The greatness of a dual threat quarterback, especially coming from a defensive player, is that you dictate how we play you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And going into a game, that advantage already creates something for you as an offense, and it affects everybody else. It helps offensive linemen sustain blocks. It helps wide receivers uncover. It helps tight ends not have to deal with rushers at a high rate during games. So it's not so much about the explosiveness of his legs. We've seen that. It's how it affects the other 10 guys that are playing on offense.
Setting me up perfectly. He's an incredible dual threat quarterback, but what struck me so much watching the tape is the way his dual threat ability affects spacing and numbers, even when he does not carry the football. I wanted to highlight a few plays, starting with Malik Nabers on the crosser. You see Malik Nabers wide open on these crossers, and you wonder why. Well, I'll tell you why. It's because the second-level defenders are so worried about Jaden Daniels keeping on the draw. Watch. They're almost pulled on a string by his little half roll. That is how just a 10-yard stop from Nabers suddenly becomes a massive gain. There's so much space for him in his feet. We talk a lot about how Nabers helps Daniels, but I would argue the reverse is true as well. Okay, this is an RPO you see a lot with the Eagles, right? The slide RPO. Jaden Daniels could run the same thing in the NFL. He reads it out, keeps the ball, but the linebacker is once again distracted by him. Again, the force defender takes extra width because of Daniels. He's so concerned about him that it creates a massive rushing lane for the running back to run through. When we talk about him in the NFL and his transition to the league, that ability right there, the way he changes spacing, is going to make that transition easier because it'll clarify coverages for him and create huge voids for his wide receivers.
Girl,
sweet tape, sick tape. It makes me think of Cliff. And we did not see enough of that with Kyler unless it was down in the red zone.
Yeah.
No, we saw it a little bit in the red zone. I like the slide one. And I think Cliff, I don't want it to be everything in their offense in Washington, but it has to be a bigger part than it was for Kyler in Arizona.
But also, too, think about how much that affected Jalen's game when we think about the Super Bowl run that they had two years ago as opposed to last year.
Yeah, and it fits everything. So, the reason why since I started the process, Jaden was the best quarterback for me were two things. I thought he had the fastest eyes, and I thought that when you're covered in college, it's open in the NFL, it's the best ball placement. This is one of my favorite plays of any of these guys. Elite processing, so dummy cadence. He's trying to gather information. He sees the Mississippi State defenders creep up. That's going to get all-out pressure, cover zero, okay? So he's then going to figure out what's the one-on-one option, how to get the ball in my hands. Bottom right corner, it's 3rd and 8, okay? He is going to know at the bottom of the screen it's a one-on-one route. And you like, all right, I love the one-on-one. I'm going to go take it. I only have 5 guys in protection. They're bringing 7. I'm going to play hot. He changes the protection, complete ownership, and now he's going to figure out what's the one-on-one. Guys, he's going to go throw the ball to the bottom of the screen and know I have to beat that safety. The bottom of the screen is not going to get open. You know how hard it is in cover zero to know or expect I'm throwing to the bottom, have a free runner on your chest, he's not open, and get to number 2 of the progression to get to 4th and 1 and convert, and then make the right throw. I don't care if you can make all of them, make the right one. It's a double move out of the slot. RC, you showed it before with Nabers, a little bit of a stutter go. Hold the safety middle field. See how the safety, RC, open his hips to the field. Now get your eyes back and make this throw off a hitch. He's not open.
But Dan, this throw, this is one of the best throws I've ever seen, though.
Bud, bang.
Yes.
So, but here's my thing. That's covered in college football.
Yes.
But in the NFL, that's open. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's why I sit there. That's the perfect example of, like, the ball placement. And that's why there were so many examples of that on the tape. I sit there, and that's – for me, it was CJ. You know how many times you saw CJ make those throws last year? Like, whew. You know, that's what – that was the separator.
You know, that kind of brought me back. Remember the Bryce throw against Kansas State that he puts in the corner where it doesn't look like it's open, and he puts that touch on it? That's what we saw similar there with Jaden. I just want to talk about the human.
Yeah.
Right? When I watch Jaden Daniels played against Justin Herbert in college in his freshman year, I said to myself, he's going to win a Heisman.
Yeah.
And then 2020 hits. Both of his grandparents passed. There's a defection of players. Antonio Pierce, who was the coach that recruited him, is fired. He goes through all of those things, picks up, leaves Arizona State, and starts over in a new culture, in a new place, in a place that's different about football than anywhere else in America. Plus, he's in a quarterback battle. All he does is continue to work, ingratiate himself in the community, the locker room, become a better player in all the places he needed to be to reach the potential of that kid I watched beat Justin Herbert at the age of 18.
Mm.
I think when you watch someone go through adversity and come out on the other side, it says a ton about him, and we got to see that through Jaden Daniels' journey.
Real quick question, because you've said to me he's the most humble star you've ever been around. Does he have jerk in him?
Yes. Yeah. He does.
You know, like
he does. But the thing about him, though, is the jerk is what he told me after he won the Heisman. He said, the boys from Florida were talking. He said, so I made sure they saw it every time I broke the pocket.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, listen, you mentioned his grandparents. That's an incredible thing to point out. He's honored them every step of the way. They raised him. They were a big part of his life. Tonight's going to be special for his family as they think about the grandparents that they'll be remembering. We got a lot more coming your way here on NFL Live. Don't miss this as we get into Brock Bowers finally on the show. The talent, undeniable, but is there value selecting him in the top 10? Mina will tell us why some teams are stuck between a Brock and a hard place.
Hey.
Former Georgia tight end. Oh my goodness. Brock Bowers is a matchup nightmare.
An all-around tight end.
Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers caught in the end zone. Touchdown. Brock Bowers.
The best tight end prospect.
He makes clutch plays when the game is on the line.
Bowers makes the catch. Touchdown, Brock Bowers.
More than just a tight end, he's an offensive weapon.
A superstar coming out of the University of Georgia.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Think about Detroit and know Dan and not think of Dan, but then you have to think about Dan.
I wouldn't have drafted you, but the Detroit Lions did. You didn't have the juice.
When I think of Detroit, I think of so many great moments, and certainly except for one.
Dan Olafi ran out of bounds. He ran out of the end zone at the safety.
What a great career our colleague Dan Orlovsky had. The years in the NFL, it's not easy to do.
Orlovsky throws left side, one Calvin pulls it in. Touchdown, Detroit Lions.
I think about those old photos of Dan in his Detroit uniform where he's got the really bad hair.
And there's also, you know, the 0-16.
People in Detroit love D.O., and I love D.O. Welcome back to Detroit, my brother.
The Lion King returns. Lion King.
Sounds a little different today, didn't it?
Hey, we got one positive comment out of that, so I'm going to take that.
That's what keeps you going. You always find the good in everything.
And, yeah. Some tough hair,
Ray
some
Sunshine.
Tough high school acne still
said,
lingering.
I love you, man. Yeah.
I love you, too.
Here's the reality. You want to, like, be on the uptrend in life, so that's a good thing. Like,
you're improving. You're
getting better. I did not peak at 12.
No, that was you didn't peak in football either.
Or in 20, or at 25, or at 30.
You're a hell of an analyst. You do a phenomenal job on TV. You're a first-round pick on television, bro.
Hey,
that's what that matters.
Yes.
Now. All right. Smarter picks are brought to you by NerdWallet.
And I wish you had that cheeseburger back.
It's so easy.
Here's how ESPN analytics draft predictor sees things shaking out for Brock Bowers. He likely won't go to the Titans at 7, who pretty much every mock has taken a tackle, right? They need one. And 8 to the Falcons. They've already got Kyle Pitts. It gets interesting, though, at 9. 16% there to go to the Bears, followed by 33% to the Jets at 10. And then 17% to the Vikings at 11 if they end up staying there. A lot of people don't think they would, though. So it's pretty interesting. Mina, how should teams be assessing Bowers? Maybe more to the point, taking a tight end early in the first round.
Oh, it is complicated because with Brock Bowers, there's the discussion about the player, and the player is amazing. And then there's a discussion about the position and positional value. So there's a couple of reasons why teams are a little bit more reluctant when it comes to drafting tight ends as high as receivers. One is production. I mean, rookie wide receivers have come in and have been so dominant in the NFL. I want you to look at this. Last year in the NFL, the top 10 receivers in yards per route run, 8 were on rookie contracts versus two of the top 10 tight ends. It takes a while typically for guys to come in and master the position. Sam LaPorta here in Detroit was an exception, frankly. So, you know, that there's that aspect of it, which is the production. And then there's the financial side of it. The 10th overall pick, let's say that's where Brock Bowers is most likely to go according to ESPN analytics. Garrett Wilson, the Jets, makes about $5 million a year. Franchise tag for a receiver is over $20 million. So you are saving so much money if you find a Garrett Wilson, who I think we all agree belongs in that tier of receivers. Whereas for tight end, it's about $12 million. So you're saving money, but over the course of 4 years, you're not saving as much money, so it's not as much of a home run. That said, if you view Brock Bowers as a weapon and you think he's going to be that productive and he's going to be that exception, I understand why a team would do it, but the bar for him is higher because of the position.
I mean, I'll tell you this. Whichever team takes Brock Bowers, quite early tonight, we should say as well, is going to ignore the part you said about how much savings you would realize on a wide receiver as opposed to a tight end and say, if Brock Bowers becomes the next Travis Kelce or Mark Andrews or TJ Hockenson or George Kittle, that contract that he will sign 3 or 4 years from right now is going to be decidedly less expensive
than a
wide receiver. So Amon-Ra St. Brown, who is worth every penny that he just got yesterday, is now going to make $30 million a year. If we see Brock Bowers hit over the next 3 years, he'll be signing an extension for like $18 or $19 million, I'd be okay with that if that were me. That being said, you're talking about $10, $12 million per year savings. Teams are always going to have the long-range lens out when you're using a top 10 or 12 pick.
Completely.
So that would be the counterpoint to the economic side you just brought up.
Okay, so I think it's an interesting conversation because your points are so thought-provoking. Yeah. Like, what would you rather have? Because if Brock goes in that 10 world or 15 world, I don't think he gets past the Colts. You're probably falling on the fourth receiver, right? The fourth guy in this draft.
Yes.
So what would you rather
have? Brian Thomas Jr.
Brock,
or Brock Bowers.
You know, and I think that's because, especially with the younger quarterback. Like, I go back to Dak Prescott's rookie year. He had Jason Witten. I go to Patrick Mahomes. He had Travis Kelce. I go to Brock Purdy. He had George Kittle. Some of the younger quarterbacks, even a player like Dalton Schultz. And I just think it's interesting to it's not the first wide receiver that we're comparing him to.
Correct.
It's the fourth wide receiver or fifth. And I think that has to matter
totally
into this conversation as well.
Yeah, listen, the New York Jets and all of what you guys are saying, the Jets seem like a place where you have the infrastructure for him to be dynamic, right? With Garrett on the outside, obviously Mike Williams being there now coming off an injury. But the reason I say that is because we just had a conversation about positional value.
Yeah.
What window are the Jets in right now? Win a Super Bowl now.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Dynamic playmaker immediately. We'll deal with all that, what we're going to pay you in 3-4 years later. But when you've put everything in the middle of the table and you know you have a quarterback that's actually going to accentuate what he already does, which is phenomenal, by the way, it may be worth going and get that now because no one in New York we'll talk about we took Brock Bowers instead of a wide receiver if a Super Bowl comes
on. It's going to be okay. And so that's the interesting thing because Bowers fits in an offense with a veteran quarterback. But I'm curious why he provides answers for a rookie quarterback.
Well, you give information. You move him around and you follow what the defense does. Do they get matched with certain people? And then your quarterback knows if it's man versus zone. You could always sit there and go, we're going to put him there. You start there all the time versus the matchup. And it makes quarterbacks think a little bit faster. Again, Dak Prescott, Travis Kelce, Jason Witten, Brock Purdy.
Andrews.
I also think there's a comfort level in throwing to bigger people. And Brock, you know, Brock Bowers is a little bit bigger than a Brian Thomas. And that's, I think that matters for some of these younger players that have these bigger bodies.
By the way, defenses are rarely going to put their best player on an elite tight end. Right. They're just afraid of doing it. Maybe there aren't that many Derwin James out there available to do so. But every week we're sitting there thinking to ourselves, the Chiefs last year had nobody besides Travis Kelce until Rashee Rice became a bigger factor in the offense in the second half of the season. Yet every single week it's like, who is uncovering 87? Why do they not have a plan that says make somebody besides him beat us?
That's a good point.
It's going to be fascinating to see where Brock Bowers goes. There's so many questions tonight, but that one, when it's answered, I think we're all going to be excited to see the answer. Up next, many believe the Broncos are hoping to land their next franchise quarterback in tonight's draft, but will they be able to do it? Field will tell us why Denver has his most challenging team to predict what they will do. That's next. He'll explain. Aerial coverage is provided by Goodyear. From their first step on the field to their first step on this stage, these players have drive. Goodyear, more driven.
The ultimate compliment.
I know.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're watching NFL Live, presented by NerdWallet. We're coming your way from Detroit ahead of the NFL draft. Just about 3 hours and some change before this whole thing gets started. Spring football going on as well. Week 5 of the UFL kicks off Saturday. The Brahmas take on the Renegades and the Stallions squaring off against the Roughnecks at 7 Eastern on Fox. Then on Sunday, it's the Battlehawks and Defenders at noon Eastern on ESPN. And the Panthers taking on the Showboats at 3 on Fox.
J.J. McCarthy will be a top 5 pick.
I think he's the best quarterback in the draft.
McCarthy to pass. Gets it completed. It's a touchdown.
J.J. McCarthy is Kirk Cousins.
Needed to be clutch. He's been able to do it.
I think he plays quarterback the best.
J.J. McCarthy is ready to play in the National Football League.
I don't think there's a young man in this class that makes the really difficult things look as easy at times that J.J. McCarthy does.
J.J.'s a winner. And the only stat I cared about was W's, and we did pretty good in that category.
J.J. McCarthy right in the mix for a lot of teams tonight, one of them being the Broncos, and that's where we find Ed Werder covering Denver. Ed, any sense where you think they're going to head tonight?
Well, first of all, the Broncos have not been in the W column very often in the last 5 years. And in fact, they've started 13 different quarterbacks since Peyton Manning retired. Somewhere in the first round tonight, Sean Payton could certainly draft Denver's next franchise quarterback. I've spent the past few days with this team, and my sense is that the Broncos, like most teams, expect Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and probably Drake May to be the first three picks. J.J. McCarthy, rather than May as the third quarterback off the board, would be a potential surprise. Another question here, and the one that likely determines whether the Broncos or Vikings try to trade up, is how seriously are the Giants considering a quarterback at 6? If convinced that's a real possibility, then teams like Denver and Minnesota would have to trade up into the top 5. The Broncos have engaged potential trade partners considering moves both up and down. I know that for a fact. It's worth mentioning that Sean Payton made 4 draft day trades in the first round while with the Saints. All 4 were to acquire a higher pick. He also twice made pre-draft trades to obtain a first round pick. The Saints never traded down in the first round while Payton was in New Orleans. An important distinction to make, of course, regarding all of that, is that the Saints were a perennial playoff team. They were confident they were surrendering future first-round picks that would be in the late 20s, not the situation here in Denver where Payton prepares for his second season rebuilding the roster. And, Laura, I really think there's a strong feeling here in the building the Broncos can stay at 12 and draft an impact player, maybe be one of the second-tier quarterbacks, Bo Nix or Michael Penix, both of whom have made very favorable impressions on the scouts and coaches here.
Yeah, you got to think there's a fit in that system potentially, especially maybe for Bo Nix. Thanks, Ed Werder, for doing that. Also, Peyton Manning told a great story, you guys, about texting J.J. McCarthy, and J.J. thought it was a joke, and so he didn't respond, and Peyton's like, yo, man, it's actually me. So he had a good conversation with J.J. McCarthy.
That happened to me when Ryan Clark texted me for the first time. No way.
This
can't be real. It's not actually you.
Phil, just how hard is it to figure out what Denver's going to do tonight?
I think they're the hardest team in the first half of the draft forecast right now for this reason. I think there is a chance they could take a quarterback at pick number 12, but I think there are also some people that feel like that would be a little bit too early for one of those quarterbacks, especially if it is Bo Nix, despite the potential system fit. The other part of it is this. If they don't take a quarterback at number 12, I would argue that left tackle, potential need. Garrett Bowles going into the final year of his contract.
Yep.
Cornerback, edge rusher, wide receiver with Cortland Sutton, his future a bit uncertain right now in Denver. And all of those positions, by the way, have a player that you could justify taking 12th overall. So, do you draft for need? Do you draft for value? If it's a quarterback, more often than not, we know the teams end up drafting for need. It's why I've had a really hard time, though, deciding which direction they'll go.
The Broncos have one of two decisions that they could potentially make.
Yep.
Go up and go get the quarterback that they desire more than maybe Bo Nix, and that's obviously going to weaken your football team. So you have that choice of lesser assets and talent, more than likely, and a potential player off your roster, but I got a quarterback, or roll the dice a little bit and don't take a quarterback in the first round. Maybe someone else comes up and grabs a pick, and you trade back and gets a picks, and you sit towards the second or third round. They don't have a second rounder, but maybe you acquire one and you take a Spencer Rattler or a Jordan Travis out of Florida State. And that's the question is, like, do you want maybe another pick or two in Rattler and or Jordan Travis? Or do you want another pick or less in Bo Nix? I don't think either of them are great spots.
Without a second round pick, $85 million between this year and next on Russell Wilson's salary cap charge as well. This is a pickle for the Denver Broncos right now. But one thing we know about Sean Payton is that last year, he said this team expects to play for the playoffs right away. So, like, their idea, like, taking a step back might be a pragmatic approach right now. This might be the long view stage of this franchise rebuild.
They have to take a step back.
Well, but right?
There is no step forward for this team, especially when you think about the way that Dan laid that out. If you move up and you get a quarterback, you're still getting a rookie quarterback. You're going to lose assets and maybe players. If you stay in that position and you draft one of these quarterbacks that are second-tier guys, it's going to take some time for them to become players that makes people around them better.
Right.
I think this is a tough spot to be in for Denver.
It's also interesting to see what the Raiders do tonight when we talk about these teams that need quarterbacks but are kind of in a pickle. Mina, what do you think they should do?
I think Michael Penix Jr. makes all the sense in the world for the Raiders.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of folks associated them because it just feels like the right fit in Penix Jr. They're getting a guy who can play immediately, which is something they need. They need a quarterback not who's going to come back and sit and develop. No, they need someone who can be the starter, somebody who's going to attack downfield, throws beautiful deep balls outside the numbers, allows the playmakers to win, and of course the Raiders actually have those, most notably
Devontae
Adams, but also Jacoby Myers. I think they map, I've mentioned this before, I think they map on eerily well to the Washington wide receivers. They're like the NFL version of them in a way. So to me, that is one of the more natural quarterback team pairings in the entire draft.
Yeah, and I think that's why Penix fits there, but for Penix is how much do we go need over value at spot 13.
Do we
feel like at 13 it doesn't matter if we have a lower grade on Penix and you paid a quarterback tax? Or do you try to play a little peekaboo, see if you can draft it, get a good player there, move up late in the first round and pick up Michael Penix? The thing they can't do is miss on a quarterback totally, because if they don't, everything they've done to build around Antonio Pierce will be for naught.
I gotta tell you one thing. I hate the term when someone else uses it of it factor. In part because I don't think it's one of those things that you can actually believe until you spend time around somebody. Senior Bowl, Michael Penix was down there for the week, went to his pro day at Washington, didn't see him obviously play a game that counted. He's got the it factor. He sold me during those two exposures. And every single player at the Senior Bowl, 120 or so of the best players in the country that are draft eligible, all were looking at Michael Penix Jr. kind of like, he's the dude for that week. Wouldn't surprise me if he made that same impression during visits with teams.
And the last thing is this, and Mina mentioned having Caleb Williams on the pivot. We asked him who was the number two to him, and he said Michael Penix.
Wow, wow.
He said he can absolute spin it, and he said, I tell everyone when I'm asked that I believe Michael Penix is the next best quarterback in this draft.
Controls
you
the ball.
You gotta think, when he's in those meetings, he's making that impression, yeah. And you hear that from a lot of teams. They're very high on him. Could be dicey for the Raiders to wait and see if he's
still
there.
Wait.
All right, where's Swaggy? Swaggy somewhere? What you doing?
You know I'm
where are
you? He might be on stage by now.
I'm right here.
Hey.
I hear all this talk about the quarterbacks, but I'm about to get these big youngins in here, and we're going to get it popping with BMB. I'm going to let the crowd take us out.
Yo, what up? I know we do big man balling quite a bit, but let me tell y'all what it is. Hey, who won't stop us now? Big men on display.
Just blew that play up.
That was big man ball.
Doing athletic things.
Touchdown, Byron Murphy.
That most people can't do.
On to Tavondre Sweat. Another big six.
Huh, but trust me, there's more.
Big man
balling.
Let's go.
Finna give you all I got.
BMB.
Look at the big.
Just a little plug. It's the best segment on TV.
Time it is. Y'all know what time it is. Usually I'm super tame when it comes to young guys because they got to prove a lot. But the big fellas in this draft, they've been doing their damn thing. And we're going to start with an old lineman, believe it or not. Joe Alt on the pool. We're not talking about taking a drop and blocking the defensive end. We're talking about showing some athleticism. You see it here and find the guy that's trying to enter through the back door of the club and bust his face mask wide open. That's what Joe Alt did. I like the nastiness of the big fella. I like the feet. I like the verticality getting down the line of scrimmage. Joe Alt is a young big man balling. I hope to do this more, brother, but this was a good one. Next, it ain't no way in hell you can have a big man balling without Tavondre Sweat being involved in it. He's the biggest human you've ever seen in person. He's the biggest human you've ever seen on TV. But look at the lateral quickness. See, when God make us, he be like, I'm going to make you big. You're going to have big thighs. You're going to have small ankles. And I'm going to help you move faster than most people move. And that's what he did for Tavondre Sweat. When I was breaking this film down, y'all, I was enamored with the athleticism. And last but not least, I told y'all, anytime a big man get in the end zone, I'm going to find him. So I'm going to go to my man, Byron Murphy. He's a top D-tackle prospect in this draft, but we can do more. And the coaches in the NFL tell us all the time, the more you can do. So you can line him up at fullback, you can hand the ball off to him, and he can get in the end zone. I don't care if it's from the 1 yard line, because I can already hear RC and Dan in my ear. Don't give a damn. We got pay dirt, and we needed to score a touchdown. That is the young BMBs coming into the league. I hope to display you guys more, but you already gave me something here on draft day. Good luck tonight. Put a great suit on, and BMBs will be recognized as long as Swaggu on NFL Live. Peace.
Woo,
we give you the ball on the 1 yard line. The other team's on 99.
Oh, come on, Dan. That was great. Honestly, there are really exciting.
On the big men,
he does, and there's so many exciting ones in this draft.
And what's crazy is he was closer to big men balling than he was this size when he got drafted. Especially when we're talking about body fat percentage. And so
it was all in his face. Oh, well. There we go. All right. Anyway, Marcus was talking to us. I don't know if you guys heard it at home. We're talking about the big fellows. Let's go to the littler fellows. But they're not really that little because these wideouts in this draft class are really exciting.
It's not that funny.
The most wideouts taken in the first round of a draft was in 2004 when seven went, including three in the top 10. Mel Kiper Jr. had seven wide receivers going in the first round of his latest mock draft, including three in the top 10. Dan, all signs point to Marvin Harrison Jr. being the first wideout off the board. What is a team, whoever takes him, getting in him tonight?
Yeah, the three most important traits a wide receiver needs. Number one, can you get open? Number two, do you catch it? And then number three, what do you do when you actually do catch it? I think he's elite, top five in all of those elements. The ability to, you know, the pace of his routes and the play speed that he has, He's not just a one-trick pony. You can get him the football in multiple different facets. We've talked about that with Malik Nabers. The one-on-one catches, his feet are so unique. Like, you know, we're in Detroit, Nate Burleson, toe drag swag. Like, his ability to have his feet proper in the catch space or at the top of his routes, I think, is a thing that he does better than the other two in the top three category. He's a very rare talent.
All right, so you look at that fourth overall pick with the Cardinals. Look at this tweet from Kyler Murray that he put out a little bit earlier today. He said, the vibes just feel right. Something about today feels right. Vibes are immaculate. I don't know. What does Kyler know here? I mean, you got to think they feel really confident, those Cardinals.
They're the best place in the draft.
Right. Yeah. They do. They've got a lot of great picks as well. But either way, they know it's probably going to be quarterback 1, 2, 3. They're right there.
Yeah.
They could get Marvin Harrison Jr. All right, so if he's the first wideout to go, that leaves Malik Nabers and Rome Odunze as the next two on people's boards. Mina, how do you expect that to go? How do you choose between them? It's like choosing between two kids.
The top three are all like that for me.
But who you are has to matter, right, as
that
a team?
That is exactly what I was about to say. I have a slight preference for Nabers generally because of his rare explosiveness, but I think if you do take him over Odunze, you have to have a plan. It's not like, and I would say Marvin Harrison Jr. is in this bucket as well. You just line him outside, tell him to win.
Right.
That's not what you're doing with Malik Nabers. You want to borrow heavily from what we see, frankly, the Dolphins do. Condensed formations, using motions. You need to get him in space because when he is in space, bad things happen to the defense. However, that team has to have that vision for him. He's going to play a lot in the slot. He just is, especially earlier on in his career. And if you don't have that vision, take Odunze because he is a sure thing to me.
Yeah, I know the vision is important, and I'm going to differ a little bit here with Mina because I think when we're talking about skill set, 1 and 2 are closer than 2 and 3 to me. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't believe Rome Odunze is a number one or that Rome Odunze isn't a really good receiver, but some of the elite traits of the other two I don't believe he has. I don't believe he has a little bit of the suddenness, a little bit of the quickness to create some of the separation that we see the elite wide receivers do in the NFL. But we've seen that from both Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers. And I think the thing that Rome does, and Dan was mentioning this during the commercial, is he makes these tough catches because he doesn't create the separation, the range that he could catch the football with, how soft his hands are, the way he places his body. And there is a place in football for that because we've seen it with DeAndre Hopkins as well.
Yeah.
But when I think about Malik Nabers, the NFL, that's where they're moving. Right, they're moving to more motion offense. You're moving to the play action pass. You're moving to getting the football out of my quarterback's hands as quickly as I possibly can and letting these players who catch the football in this open space do the work. And I believe Malik does that better than anybody else in this draft.
I just think, like, where it matters. Like, if you're the Giants and you don't get the quarterback, and it's Marvin at 4 or something, both are downfield, but I think I choose Rome Odunze over Nabers just because of the big body for Daniel Jones. 7 at Tennessee, I think they take offensive linemen, but Brian Callahan comes from the Jamar Chase one-on-one. So maybe is that Malik Nabers. 9, Chicago. We just talked about, I would, if they're going to take a receiver
and stay,
I would do
Caleb.
Nabers because get the ball to Caleb's hands more than Rome. And then the Jets, I think that opposite Gary Wilson, if they take a wide receiver, it makes more sense for a Romo Odunze.
I agree with that.
Here's how we think it may go, right? Quarterbacks at the top, maybe somebody trades up. Then you take a few wide receivers there, like those top 3, 4 maybe. Then probably a lot of offensive tackles, some defensive guys spliced in there. But then there are more wide receivers at the bottom half of that first round that can make your team a lot better. Give us one to look out for, Dan.
Yeah, I think it's Xavier Worthy for me. What happened with Xavier Worthy was, at Texas, pretty darn good season this year. And he makes some explosive plays down the field. You get him some touches, and then he's in a light electric factory. And then he goes to the combine, and he runs 4.2. And I think too many of us have bottled him into, oh, he's a fast guy. Because so often we say fast guys can't run routes. I think this guy's a little bit more nuanced in his route running and his hands than just a 4.2 speed guy. He could play a little bit all over. You can get him touches. And I do think he's wiggly enough at the top.
So earlier, RC had a rep of Terrion Arnold versus Ladd McConkey. That was a meaningful rep because it does not happen because nobody is able to cover this guy. He gets open so quickly. He's such a jitterbug. He has, I think, actually a pretty impressive catch radius given his size. And then when he has the football in his hands, he is able to create. Yeah. look, he's not going to go at the top of the draft partially because of his size. I think he can play inside and outside, and I also think he's going to catch a million passes in the NFL.
Yeah, and what I like is Brian Thomas. And I know it's going to be like, oh, you want all the LSU guys. But I actually do. And he was sort of the forgotten player at LSU. And we only think about his long speed. Here you're going to see a seam dagger. Watch the way as Malik Nabers clears this space for him. Watch him break down, find the space in the zone, catch the football, and get upfield. This is something that we didn't talk about from Brian Thomas. Can he catch the ball in traffic? Can he now push up the field? Now, let's look at the intelligence when he's tied along here with Jaden Daniels and the scramble. Now, this is a simple hook route. He turns up. Now, Jaden gets out of the pocket. As he scrambles to the sideline, Brian Thomas gets up the field. Now, here is where we see that elite 4.33 speed where he gets it to the end zone. I love everything about that play because it shows exactly who he is. Now, this team was a huge slot fade team. Remember, this guy is 6'4".
Okay.
You can put the football and give him opportunities to catch it where it doesn't seem that he's open. And the last thing I want to show you is it's not just in the pass game. Now, this is a play. If you're running inside out, you're supposed to make this tackle. Watch him freeze the DB and accelerate to the pylon. Brian Thomas is more than just a deep threat. He's more than just a guy that you stick at the X receiver and work away from him unless he gets the one-on-one. And I think some of those things can help him acclimate into an offense much more quickly than we may have expected before the combine.
You're going to be the head coach of the all-LSU team? Or
I would love to be the head coach.
You all win a hell of a lot of games.
More to come here on NFL Live from Detroit. The NFL draft is happening tonight. Still to come, the Vikings hold two picks tonight in this first round. Should they make a deal to move up to grab their next franchise QB? Our crew discusses what makes sense for Minnesota heading into tonight. NFL Live is presented by NerdWallet. Start making smarter financial decisions today. More from Motown after this. Back here on NFL Live, Detroit is packed with fans filing in for the 2024 NFL Draft. Night one begins in just over 3 hours. All the coverage for you across the ESPN family of networks. And the dreams are going to be realized tonight. What's going to happen in Minnesota? Well, Josh Matula said, great day to be a Vikings fan. Tired of holding secrets. All right, what are the secrets?
What do you know, Josh?
All eyes. All eyes on Minnesota.
Josh, don't know nothing.
We go to a safety in the Minnesota defense.
Like, he's going to be just like us.
We can all be like, I got secrets. And Jeff, maybe you have some answers what those secrets are there in Minnesota. What can you tell us about their plans tonight?
If Josh has secrets, he needs to go right upstairs in this building and let everybody in management know, because right now they're very tense. They, too, are trying to figure out exactly what is going to happen. I am dead serious about that. There is some tension in this building because this is a team that knows at the 11th spot, after not re-signing Kirk Cousins, they need to find a quarterback. They would love to trade up to that number 3 spot currently held by the New England Patriots. And the player that they have been fascinated by throughout this draft process is Drake May. We know, though, that there is significant competition, including the Patriots themselves. So the question is, if they can't get to 3, something they realize is a possibility, what do they instead do? The Giants at number 6, also potentially in the market for a quarterback, something the Vikings also know. They would potentially have to jump the Giants if they say wanted J.J. McCarthy, another guy that is very high on their board. And of course, the possibility of Michael Penix Jr. becoming the Vikings quarterback is still a possibility. My point in all of this is the Vikings realize they're going to have to trade up to get one of these guys. The question is, how much will it take? Will they find a suitor? And for what quarterback will it be for?
Yeah, Jeff, you think about the Chargers even in there at 5, too. Seems like they could be really interested in getting a tackle. They may not want to move out of that spot and risk losing him. It is fascinating to see what Minnesota will do. Thanks to Jeff Darlington, the latest from a tense Minnesota. 8 teams have traded up into the top 5 to take a quarterback in the last 20 years, and it hadn't been great. Look at that. Just 3 of the 8 quarterbacks ended up signing a second contract with the team. The last was Jared Goff with the Rams and Carson Wentz with the Eagles. They were taken all the way back in 2016. RC, do you feel like Minnesota has to move up to take a quarterback today?
I believe they do. I believe if you're the Minnesota Vikings, one, Justin Jefferson wants you to move up. Jefferson needs you to move up and get a guy that he wants to play with. On the other side of that, this is a great place to go if you're a quarterback.
Yeah.
This is a place that has everything they need in Kevin O'Connell, in the way that he runs offense, in the way that he thinks schematically, along with the skilled players to allow a young player to be successful. Not to mention Brian Flores and the improvement of this defense. This could be a team that has an opportunity to compete. And we've heard J.J. McCarthy be mentioned with this team as along with Drake May. We watch Kirk Cousins, who some people say is very much a very similar to a J.J. McCarthy, operate at a high level right. in this offense. So my question is this, though. If you knew Kirk Cousins would have turned out to be what he is,
yeah.
would you have drafted him in the top five?
Absolutely.
And if that answer is yes, then you can move up and draft J.J. McCarthy.
My answer would be absolutely. Yeah. I mean, he's a top 10 quarterback consistently year in and year out. I think what's interesting about Minnesota is who's making the pick. Because their general manager, Kwesi Odafo-Mensah, spent most of his time in San Francisco and mm-hmm. Cleveland, right? He was in San Francisco when they had Cap. And Cap ran wild on the NFL. Yeah. And then he was in Cleveland when they took Baker. And, like, there was some good, some bad.
Yeah.
Two very different styles
different
of play.
Spectrums, yeah.
Okay? Then it's Kevin O'Connell, the head coach. He's really only been around players like Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
So is it... No, we are going to do, as the general manager might think, I watched Colin Kaepernick, the athleticism, it mattered. We are going to do everything we can to go get Drake May and give New England three first-round picks and Justin Jefferson. We're going to do whatever it takes. Or.
I hope not.
Goodness, don't put Dan in your draft room.
You're going to get five.
Nobody
who's making
them?
The pick?
Yeah. Well, I mean.
That's my point. Or is it Kevin O'Connell
yeah.
sitting there going, we will be just fine
right.
getting J.J. McCarthy.
It's probably not going to matter because Drake May is probably not going to be available to them. I mean, all this
but
time.
If you're Minnesota, you're New England.
You can offer as much as you want. It doesn't seem like New England's going to take it. Maybe they will. Maybe. I'm just saying, increasingly, and I'm just reading the tea leaves here, it feels like New England's going to stick and pick. Obviously, if they offered them the world, they would have to consider it, Dan.
Right.
But I assume that they've been on the phone with them for quite some time now. We are getting very close to the draft,
right now.
And it is not being rumored to be happening.
Let me ask you a question. If you're Minnesota, it takes the 11th, the 23rd pick, and next year's first-round pick
yeah.
to go up to number four.
That's equivalent to the Trey Lance trade.
And you get J.J. McCarthy, or stay at 11 and take Michael Penix.
And that's where I think your discussion about the potential tension between the GM and the coach, that is where I think that's captured. I feel like they're going to overpay no matter what, and that J.J. McCarthy is probably going to do that.
I was just captivated by the conversation. Here's what I was thinking the whole time, been thinking for about 2 weeks. This division is about to have Caleb Williams, Jared Goff, and obviously
Jordan Love.
Jordan Love.
So I don't give a damn what you got to do in Minnesota. You got a problem. And I think sometimes, like, thinking in that context kind of answers the question for you, which is why Minnesota is sitting there probably trying to do everything they can, which is why I don't think you stupid crazy for saying the potential of Justin Jefferson. Now, if it was a quarterback that was going to clearly take you over the top, yes, I think they would consider that. But the fact that these three quarterbacks is what we think they're going to be going forward, you could be in purgatory the next 5 years if you don't take one of these guys and they pan out to be able to compete.
What you said about Justin Jefferson is so important, right? Like, he's how do you get him to agree to stay there?
You cannot.
You can't.
I don't care what anyone says publicly. He's not signing there unless he knows who his future quarterback is.
I agree. I believe that's part of the holdup at this moment.
Totally.
It's going to be fascinating to see what happens there and throughout tonight as round one is coming your way. We
I wasn't coming
wait
back till we
resign
RC.
Hey, well, I'm glad we did that. By the way, tomorrow we're on early, an hour early, 2 to 4.
Right now.
So make sure that you're here with us 2 Eastern on ESPN as this is a special night. It's a pleasure. It's a thrill to be here and see these dreams realized on the stage right behind us. The commissioner will be out there. And, of course, these
Let's go, man. I can't wait.
The green room with their families. They'll hear their name called. They'll make this exact walk that you're seeing here down that hallway to go put on the hat of their new team, maybe changing a franchise, maybe just realizing a dream they've had their entire life.
Your mama's and your dad is the
next.